Thank you for watching. My name is David Fielding. I'm one of the leaders at Castlefields Church in Derby. Today's the 3rd of May, 2020. And we live in unprecedented times. That word unprecedented, that's a word which we're hearing a lot of recently, isn't it? And it's that word I want to just talk about and say something from the Bible about it. Whilst it's true that you and I have never experienced coronavirus before, that is unprecedented. It's not the first time in this country or in the world that there have been things like viruses, plagues, epidemics, and this word pandemic that we are hearing more and more today. If we think about our own city, the city of Derby, three times in history, it's been hit by the plague. Back in 1349, a third of the population of Derby was wiped out by the plague. In 1586, the plague started in St. Peter's area of Derby. That's very close to where our church is today. And in 1665, there was a terrible outbreak of the bubonic plague. There are all sorts of evidences of those things in our city. There's an interesting history. If you go out on the London Road, you'll come to Dead Man's Lane. Why is it called Dead Man's Lane? Well, that is where the poor of the city were literally barrowed out and buried in poor graves outside of the city boundary. In the St. Peter's area, around the church, there are many graves, and it is said that many are buried vertically, standing up, because so many had to be buried in that graveyard during the times of plague. If you go out along Friargate, you'll come to something called the Vinegar Stone. When trading was done in those days, money had to be put into a pot of vinegar to sterilize it before the money could change hands in the time of the plague, so that the plague could not be transmitted. And if you drive down Blagreaves Lane in Littleover, part of the suburbs of Derby, you'll wonder why this is called Blagreaves Lane. Well, originally it was called Black Graves Lane. There's a gap in the housing and some fields. Why no houses there? That is because that is the site of the graves of people who died in the Black Death, and Littleover was particularly badly hit. Well, there are instances in our city where we live. Of course, I'm holding the Bible here, and people talk, don't they, about things of biblical proportions, and that's sort of a phraseology that's used. I think they're probably thinking back to the plagues at the time of Moses, before the people of God, the Hebrew people, left Egypt. And there were those 10 plagues that you can read about in the book of Exodus. But I want to turn just for a moment or two to consider some things that are written in the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, a short book in the Old Testament, hardly really known about. Probably you may never have read it. Just read it, because if you sit down at one sitting, it's only three chapters, it's only 73 verses, and it's most graphic. Let me just read the first few verses to you. Joel chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That sort of sounds unprecedented, doesn't it? Something is happening here in the days of Joel. We don't know exactly when he lived, maybe 800 years before Christ. We don't really need to know. the history of where he is, but we do know about what happened. What was the unprecedented event in his day? Well, if you go on to the next verse in chapter 1 of Joel and verse 4, it tells us what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. And we know from that, and from what we know today about locusts, how horrendous it must have been. In the days of this man, Joel, there was a tremendous locust plague, like nothing they'd seen before. He says, tell your children about it. Tell your children's children about it. People will talk about it for generations to come. I get the impression, don't you, that people will talk about this time of coronavirus for generations to come? In future generations, young people will tell their children about what happened in 2020. Unprecedented. So this book here, this little book in the Bible, is well worth reading because it tells us some things that will help us in this unprecedented event today. You know, we believe as Christians and as a pastor of a church that the Bible is profitable. It tells us in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that all scripture is profitable. It's given by God. It's God-breathed. It's what God intends to tell us. He's given us this amazing book to tell us what he wants us to hear so that we are ready and prepared to meet him one day, to know about life and death, to know about God, to know about heaven and hell, and all the serious things and answer all the things of life. His book. Let me just tell you three things that this little book of Joel teaches us, how it's profitable to us. And here's the first one. Number one, it tells us that the day of the Lord is at hand. It's a little phrase that this man uses in writing. Chapter 1, verse 15, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Chapter 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is at hand. Chapter 2, verse 11, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Chapter 2 and verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And chapter 3 and verse 14, for the day of the Lord is near. Do you get the impression? Do you get what he's saying? He's saying that the day of the Lord, God is in this, in other words. What's happening, the unprecedented events of his day, God is at hand. He is in it. Very interesting to note that this man's name is Joel. It's like two names put together, Jehovah and Elohim. That's the Hebrew word for God. So it's saying Jehovah is God. Even the man's name resonates because it's telling us that God is in this and he is in this day. And we believe that the unprecedented days of today, God is in it. When that locust plague struck, what did people say? How did people react? What were the questions they asked? Well, Joel, the prophet, says God is in this day. The day of the Lord is at hand. And he does that to show, to demonstrate how God is in every day. And that there is a day coming which will be the day of the Lord. The greater day than any day that Joel knew 800 years BC, any day that we know today, 2020, plagues of locust, coronavirus, will be nothing compared to this day that is spoken of here. You see, there is a day coming, tells us in the New Testament, that it is appointed unto men, to men and women, boys and girls, to die once. And then it says this, and then the judgment. You can find that in Hebrews 9 and verse 27. In other words, there's a day coming for us all, the day of judgment, God's final day. And every time there are unprecedented days in history, then it tells us that there's a day coming. And it lovingly warns us about that greater day. So in this prophecy in chapter 2 and in verse 11, it tells us this: the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? And in chapter 2 and verse 30 and 31, it says this: I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. You get the impression, don't you, that what Joel is speaking about here is way and beyond the plague of locusts. It's way and beyond the coronavirus. This is a day which in very pictorial terms and stark terms tells us it is coming, and it's the day, the last day. There will be a last day, you know, as there was a first day on this earth. There will be a last day, and it will be a day when God judges the world. So that's the first thing we learn, that the day of the Lord is at hand. You know, behind what is happening, although we cannot understand it fully, God is at work. God is always at work for the good of his people. You know, those plagues in Egypt in the days of Moses. Well, Pharaoh and the people of Egypt suffered, but God has a great purpose. He's working out a purpose for a people who he loved and cared for among all the peoples of the world who he wanted to save. And that salvation story goes right throughout the Bible, and it still applies today. God has a salvation story through every unprecedented day, ready for the last day. Here's the second thing that it teaches us. We need to warn people. We need to tell people. We need to do what I'm seeking to do now and explain to you that you need to be ready for that day. You see, it tells us here that what happened was that warnings were given about this great locust plague that was on its way. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says this: blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Blowing the trumpet, that's what they would do in those days. A trumpeter would stand on the city walls if there was an invading army coming or trouble at hand, and blow the trumpet. Everyone would stop what they're doing, and they would hearken and listen to hear what needed to be done. Again, in another part, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. In other words, stop what you're doing. God is speaking. God's at work. We must listen to him. This is something where we have to stop. A fast is where we stop doing what we normally do, and we stop and think and consider very, very carefully. You see, that day is coming, and it tells us about it in the end of this book, where there will be multitudes, it tells us, in the valley of decision. It's a strange phraseology. It's in chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. It tells us in verse 16, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice, and the heavens and the earth will shake. Now, when there's danger, we need to tell, don't we? We need to warn. And that's what this message is all about. That is why God uses things like unprecedented days, so that we stop, think carefully, and consider our lives. Now, what is said is pretty terrifying. I've never been in a plague of locusts. You probably haven't done either. But we've been through this, haven't we, this coronavirus, and we know how fearful it is. We are afraid, aren't we? I'm somebody with underlying health conditions. And I would admit to you, it worries me, it gives me some anxiety. And here we have the honest word of this man, Joel, who tells that things will be terrifying and worrying and concerning. But if we stop and if we listen, there's something beyond that, something most wonderful. In chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13, after it's said in verse 11 that the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, who can endure it? It says this: "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness." What he's saying is this: don't rend your clothes. Don't be in despair. Come to God, because he is gracious and kind and merciful, and he wants you to turn to him. There's something even beyond that, even more wonderful perhaps, in chapter 2 and verse 31. It tells us in this great and terrible day of the Lord that's coming, that there's hope, there's something you and I can do. Verse 32 of chapter 2. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. There's a message of safety. There's a message of help. There's a message there from somebody who knows what is happening and knows how to help. There's hope. You know, that's the message of this book, the Bible. It's the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is hope, not just a vague sort of notion. We hope our football team wins. We hope coronavirus will soon be gone. But this is a certain hope. It tells us in the New Testament that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's not a maybe, that's not a perhaps. He did it. It tells us in the Bible that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So first of all, we're told the day of the Lord is at hand. Well, coronavirus, here we are, unprecedented days. Then it tells us this, that we've got to tell out the warning and bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then thirdly, there's the promise. There's a promise here of ultimate great blessing, fruitfulness that will come in the future. You know, if you've seen a locust plague, maybe on television, one of those wildlife programs, it is phenomenal how in a short time the locusts just strip everything bare. And therefore it's the most wonderful thing what we read here in chapter 2 and verses 25 to 27. This is God speaking in the context of those days, the days of Joel. "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust." In the next verse, he says, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you." Well, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? What a time it must have been after that plague of locusts had come and had gone. The people had to remember that was the day of the Lord. That was the day when God came and allowed that to happen. But God has sent a warning send a warning via Joel, blow the trumpet, be ready for this. But when it was all past and over, there was such fruitfulness. They ate and they drank again and were so thankful to God. Now in the gospel, there is that. There's beyond this life, fruitfulness and joy and peace and glory in heaven, which we can expect and we know of a certainty, not just a vague notion. So here in the Bible is this wonderful picture, this picture for us of fruitfulness after the locust plague. Now we pray and hope, don't we, that this nation will be fruitful again, the world will be fruitful again, our lives will be fruitful again after coronavirus. We hope that it happens. But one day the day will come when God will finish this world and we will be judged. There's a message of salvation. There is a Savior, Jesus, to turn to now, so that when that day comes, it will be a fruitful and a blessed and a glorious day, just like was prophesied here in this little book in the Bible. You know, the beginning and the end of books, well, we sometimes get a book, don't we? And we think, is it any good? Well, we'll read the first few words or the first chapter, perhaps, and then we'll go right to the end, see how it ends. Well, remember how Joel begins? It begins with that horrendous thought that this plague of locusts is going to wipe out everything. The days are going to be unprecedented. What will we do? How's it end? It ends like this with these words, "For the Lord dwells in Zion." What's Zion? Well, in the Old Testament, that was Jerusalem. That was the place where God dwelt, where God came down among his people, very specifically in the temple in those days. It is where Jesus came to Jerusalem and where he died, gave his life, a life, a ransom for many. And it's a picture too of heaven. Is a picture of the church now. It's often called Zion, Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. And in the last book of the Bible, John the Apostle has this vision in chapter 21 of a New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared by God like a bride adorned for her bridegroom. And it tells us here that the Lord dwells in Zion, amongst his people. And that is heaven, where there is no more unprecedented days, no locust swarms, no plagues, no need for a vinegar stone, no need for graves. Death is conquered and done, and heaven is brought in, life eternal. You may never have heard anything like this before. You may never have considered the message of the Bible before, let alone an Old Testament prophet like Joel. Well, what is wonderful about the Bible is the message of the Bible is a continuity. The story holds together from beginning to end. And you know that verse about salvation? Well, it's in the writing of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. And it tells us this, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, that means the Jews or anybody else, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the New Testament gospel of the Apostle Paul. But what is he doing? He's quoting the very words from Joel in the Old Testament. The unprecedented times, 800 years BC. There's the message. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. First century. The Apostle Paul. The gospel going out. The beginnings of Christianity as we know it in the church today. The same message. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friend, if you're listening to this and watching this, then have you ever called on the name of the Lord? Do you know that salvation? Do you know that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for you, to pay the price, the penalty for your sin, so that his righteousness may be put to your account and all your sin and unworthiness put to his account, so that one day, that day of the Lord, that final day of judgment, will be a day for you of glory, a day of wonder, a day of salvation. Have a look at Castlefields Church website, www.castlefieldschurch.org.uk. You could write to us there, drop us a note, and we'll send you some information about the Bible. We'll send you a Bible if you would like one, or you can phone us. There's a telephone number, and just leave your details on the answer phone there. Above all, read this book, read what God has to say, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation in these unprecedented days.